starší vyšší tanda pravidutananda švedvit vyráta šiváša rigaur bhaktivinda hrej krišna hrej krišna 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 hrej 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 rám hrej rám 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 Well, before we chant, and then maybe during when we chant, at this moment starts while we're chanting, I'd like to read a little from Brihad Bhagavatamrita. Who's read Brihad Bhagavatamrita? Some devotees. It's a really wonderful book. It's extraordinary. And ultimately, we're on a journey. And there's even in other religious traditions, for instance, you may have heard of the word of Pilgrim's Progress, what a journey. There are other books written by other about how people on a spiritual path attain perfection. And what are the obstacles on that path? So for us, actually, well, we have Srimad Bhagavatam, which is a 7-day sort of what they call fast track when you're traveling by airplane. It's a little fast track process. And of course, Bhikshit Maharaj is not really a sadhaka. He's already born a Mahabhagavat. Gokumar is more of a sadhaka, although he's already born in Vrindavan, so he's not an ordinary person either. But his travels and his progress are very instructive of different stages and levels of devotional service. And they're really presented for us because we're also on a pilgrim's progress. We're also going through different stages of Krishna consciousness, hopefully. And in those stages, there are certain recognized symptoms of spiritual advancement or spiritual development. There are potential pitfalls. There are things to recognize, look out for. And then there are also different stages of advancement. There you could say different guardian angels. So how to actually keep going and progressing, and what is actually the goal? Which is very important, because that's how anything works in the material world. First, you got to know where it is that you're going, and of course, how you get there is integral to where you're going. Gokumar is not doing the fast track. He's taking creations. But nonetheless, our progress may be like that, because after all, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu says that Brahmanda Brahmati Kwanya Bhagavanji, that we're also been going through the process of creation. To come here, we're sitting here together in front of Radha Gokulananda, chanting Hare Krishna, Vaishnavas with hopefully pure faith, pure intent. It didn't happen by accident. It happened by good fortune, and that good fortune is a very, it's a phrase that takes into it perhaps many, many, many lifetimes of struggle to actually just get here. Now, where do we go from here? This is not the end. And even being here and chanting Hare Krishna is not the end. I think I mentioned that the other day, or that Sunday, when we had a similar, when we were having kirtan, that, and this is interesting where it's at, where Gaur Kumar, he becomes, he's chanting Hare Krishna. Or she's chanting Krishna's holy name, she's chanting Gopal Mantra. And he's all the way up in Kailash. He's up in Lord Shiva's abode, and he's up until now. He speaks to Jagannath. He speaks to Garbhodakshaya Vishnu. He has direct darshan of demigods, all the different deities that live on the heavenly planets. He's gone past all the different presiding deities of different coverings of the universe, Matsya, Kurma, Varaha. He goes to Brahmajyoti. He's seeing a lot. And as I mentioned, but he comes up to here and he wants to go to Vaikuntha. At this stage, the Vaikuntha Yudhas have come down, they're on their way to preaching in the material world. And I want to read, so let's see how far we get on this. It's probably the longest exposition on the glories of the Holy Name. Very, very beautiful. But in the end, you're advanced, you're chanting that nicely, but this is as far as you get. You can't get any further than this. Now you've got to actually get educated in Krishna consciousness. You can't just chant without two things, one surrender and the other one knowledge. So you have to know what all of these things are about, and you've got to know where you're going. You can't just be following your mantra, even though you have very, very strong faith. But prior to that, so here is Gop Kumar's in the outer regions of the Brahmajyoti near Kailash, and Lord Shiva is, not Lord Shiva, who's reminiscent of Gopal, because Lord Shiva is also a form of Krishna. Ganesh preaches to him and so on. And the Vaikuntha Yudhas appear. They're preaching and they appear. And then we'll just, let's read a little. It's 551, 650, 50 pages. Of course, I'm just reading the actual translations. This is called bhajan, or worship. This is the third chapter of the second part. Sri Gokumar said, abashed at hearing himself praised, Lord Shiva remained silent. Vishnu Gurus were praising Lord Shiva. Then the associates of Lord Vishnu, who were Lord Shiva's dearmost friends, embraced me and spoke. So he gets embraced by Vaikuntha Yudhas and so on. The associates of the Supreme Lord said, O worshipper of the transcendental mantra of our Lord, O beloved of the husband of Uma, O son of Cowherd, indeed, we count you amongst the Lord's devotees. Born in the country of Goda, on the bank of the Ganga, was a first-class mature Brahmin named Jayanta, who was born in Bengal. He's an incarnation of Krishna and is your exalted spiritual master. Accept as true that we have come here only for your sake, and please hear what is beneficial for you to do. If you want to reach Vaikuntha, then give up everything with pure love and practice the nine forms of devotional service. Gokumar doesn't even know what the nine forms of devotional service is. He got this far, but it's as far as he gets. Honor the Bhagavatam and other scriptures that tell of this devotional service. Hear from them regularly about the Lord's pastimes. For when those narrations enter the holes of your ears and you relish them with love, they will swiftly award you the Lord's abode. What the Vaikuntha Yudhas are emphasizing here, it's not enough that you're chanting this mechanically. You have to have bhava. And you're only going to get bhava when you worship, when you practice devotional service properly. Devotional service in any one of its nine forms is the best possible spiritual discipline and can easily award you the ultimate goal, Vaikuntha. Without a second thought, advanced souls disregard all other benefits as trifling, even those praised in scriptures as supremely great. Yet devotees who understand the rasas of devotional service may practice all nine forms of bhakti to easily obtain the sweetness of its diverse tastes. When one engages with faith in even one of these forms of bhakti, pure love for the lotus feet of Sri Krishna automatically arises. Even so, the disease of aspiring for other goals may hinder devotees from attaining Vaikuntha. To keep their hearts free of this, devotees should, with pure love, continue practicing devotional service. Although wherever there is such devotional service, the Supreme Lord surely appears, and indeed, that place is Vaikuntha. Devotees must still have special regard for the Vaikuntha world because nowhere else is the personality of Godhead always directly to be seen. In other words, Krishna is always in the spiritual world. In the material world, he comes and he goes. Or even if someone is chanting Hare Krishna with love and Krishna appears, but he'll also disappear. But there, he's always there. Nowhere else can such bhakti to him in all its forms be realized forever without disturbance and in the company of so many surrendered devotees. That's why we want to go back to Godhead. You should not consider devotional service merely an activity of the body, senses, and mind. It is in fact the eternal, absolute reality manifesting itself as the most intense ecstasy beyond the material modes. By the Lord's mercy, his devotees happily realize this devotional service in many varieties. It reveals itself to them in their hearts, which are free from the material modes and immersed in eternity, knowledge, and bliss. When by spiritual discrimination, a devotee becomes completely pure in heart and attains the transcendental abode of the Lord, he realizes the wonderful varieties of devotional service. Vaikuntha Dutas are talking generally. They're talking about bhakti. And they're going to then point out that actually all of the best form of bhakti is attained through chanting Nam Sankirtan. Otherwise, for one whose heart has, by transcendental knowledge, been freed from the material endeavors of the body, senses, and mind, the activities of devotional service would be no more suitable than ordinary affairs. Why should one who renounces the acts of devotion to the Supreme Lord, as if these were, like other activities, go to Vaikuntha? He should obtain only liberation. In other words, if one has, say, by practicing bhakti, but considering them to be simply activities of the senses, you only get liberation. You don't go back to Godhead. Even if persons whose vision is limited and materialistic think devotional service just another kind of karma, it is not at all. Let them think that way and let them talk in that way. As they do, they dismiss as material the bodies and personal qualities of the Lord's associates. In Vaikuntha and elsewhere, the transcendental nature of devotional activity spontaneously shows itself in the suitably formed sachit ananda bodies of the Lord's devotees, bodies composed of limbs and senses. We ourselves are evidence of this truth as associates of the Lord of Vaikuntha. We constantly spread devotional service in many ways and yet are untouched by the material modes. Devotional service appears to new servants of the Lord to be a function of their own senses, body, and mind, so that such neophytes can engage in devotional service with relish, as they should. The Vaikuntha Gurus are talking about new devotees who are coming to devotional service. To them, to us, we identify with bhakti as activities that we're performing with our senses. But he points out that that's actually just a external perception of conditioned souls. But great devotees fixed in devotional service do not think the services they do to be actions under their own control, but expressions of the Lord's supreme mercy. If you are in a hurry to see the divine world of Vaikuntha, then go to Sri Vajraguni, the place that can best award the fulfillment of your ambitions. Simply practice pure devotional service, mainly in the form of Nam Sankirtan. Now they begin, with the hope of gaining the eternal contact of the Lord's divine lotus feet. In other words, Nam Sankirtan is meant to be practiced with the hope of attaining perfection. By that devotional service, you will soon realize the treasure of prema, and you will easily see Krishna in Vaikuntha. So you can, he's talking to Vaikuntha Judas, they're talking to him, he's going through all of these transcendental places, but still that quality of prema or love of God is not there, which will guarantee him residence in Vaikuntha. Something that remembering rather than chanting is the most essential means of devotional practice, the means that most effectively leads to prema, for bhakti in the form of chanting appears quickly and easily, and in only one sense, that of speech, which is not itself alive and conscious. This becomes sort of a Vaikuntha Judas are addressing the argument that actually smaranam or meditation is the best way to engage the mind, to best form of devotional service, because it absorbs the mind. But and chanting, well, chanting Hare Krishna means you're just engaging your tongue and it doesn't compare. But they go on to express that no, chanting is superior to trying to meditate, because by chanting you automatically end up meditating, and meditating is very hard. It requires real purity of the heart. Chanting simply requires the effort. Superior bhakti in the form of remembering, they think, appears within the mind, that turbulent, frightening, and mighty chief of all the senses. When by serious effort the mind has been brought under control and fully purified. But we consider chanting to be alone the most excellent form of bhakti, better than remembering, which appears only in one's own turbulent heart. For chanting harnesses not only the faculty of speech, which it engages directly, but also the mind and the sense of hearing. And chanting helps not only the person practicing, but others as well. If the sense of speech, which sets all the other external senses in motion, is brought under constant control, then the mind becomes stable and can properly engage in transcendental remembrance of the Lord. Remembrance thus develops as the fruit of chanting. So how do we know that our chanting is effective, having its fruit? Because remembrance comes. The chanting is bringing, is very nice here. It says that the sense of speech, which sets all the external and internal senses in motion. In other words, speech controls, just like every sharirat, most difficult to control. But when you control this one, all the other ones come under control. If those attached to meditation on the Lord still insist that remembering is of greater importance with their intelligence, they should make the following distinction. In meditating, the Lord reveals himself fully with his particular qualities. But in remembrance, the mind merely comes in contact with the Lord. So, I'll just repeat this. In meditation, the Lord reveals himself fully with his particular qualities. But in remembrance, the mind merely comes in contact with the Lord. So, meditation is achieved by chanting. It's a consequence of chanting. But when you're actually trying to remember Krishna, what you're coming in contact with is a picture of Krishna in your mind. It's a mental picture, but a mental picture is different than what comes as a consequence manifest of the holy name. It's a greater manifestation of Krishna and his potencies. If by the force of one's meditation all the functions of the senses Sankirtan of the Lord, physical contact with him, seeing him, and so on, become absorbed in the function of the mind, that meditation may be accepted as better than chanting aloud. It's a little complex here. Whenever the devotional method by which a man with true spiritual taste feels satisfaction and complete joy, that is the method saintly authorities deem most excellent and effective for him. It is not only the best of methods, but the very aim of his endeavor. What they're saying is, there is a form of remembrance which is better than chanting, but that is when someone actually has great taste, which comes as a result of a certain purification of heart. But the question is, how do you get there? And ultimately they say that out of the nine forms, that practice which is most appealing and which best brings a devotee in contact with Krishna is the best for him. However, the process of Nam Sankirtan is always the best process even to get there, because the other forms themselves, and Jiva Goswami in the Sandarbha explains that all the other eight forms of devotional service have to be accompanied by Nam Sankirtan. On their own, you'll only attain perfection if you perform some extraordinary bhakti in the previous life. Sankirtan expands the joy of meditation. Meditation, the sweet joy of Sankirtan. In our experience, the two methods fortify one another, and therefore actually one. Meditation bestows the same joy as Sankirtan when a meditating devotee directly sees the object of his heart's desire. Such a devotee, intent only on reaching that one desired object he worshipped, is sure to find spiritual peace. As by drinking cool, nectarian water, even if only within the mind, a diseased person stricken by fever enjoys happiness as the distress of his thirst is quenched, so simply by chanting the glories of the object one worships, one can attain peace. Yet when saintly persons chant without inhibition, they may feel embarrassed, even in a secluded place. Meditation, one can successfully perform only in seclusion, but Sankirtan, either in seclusion or in the company of many others. Of the many ways to chant Krishna's glories, foremost is his Nam Sankirtan. If it is deemed the best, because it can evoke at once the treasure of pure love for Krishna. When relished with love in countless ways through service rendered constantly by the tongue, the nectar of Sri Krishna's name delights the heart. Who can describe the unequaled excellence of the nectar of Sri Krishna's holy name? So here, Vaikuntha Duta's saying that you can also meditate and you can chant Krishna's holy names in your mind, but it's not as effective as Nam Sankirtan, chanting aloud. I'm just reading the verses, and of course there's Sanatana Goswami's explanation. They're really extraordinarily wonderful. Devotees study them. You'll find them quite unique, quite striking. And as you can see, it just goes on and on. We'll read a little more a little later. Thank you for listening.